Good evening. I'm Erin Granger with the KUAC Newsminer Update. Now that the Trump administration has removed a key roadblock, Alaska Public Media reports the Pebble Mine proposal in southwest Alaska is moving ahead. On Friday, the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers released the project's permit application. That gives the public a first detailed look at what the controversial mine might look like, and it starts the federal environmental review process that will determine whether the mine is approved. Mike Heatwohl is a spokesman for the project's developer, Pebble Limited Partnership.
It's pretty exciting just to at least have some details out there that people can now start to take a look at and say, this is how the Pebble team proposes to design and operate a responsible plan for developing the mineral resources at Pebble.
According to Pebble, the mine itself will have a footprint of nearly 11 square miles. The application states that over a period of two decades, the company aims to mine 1.2 billion tons of material. So far, none of the fine print is convincing opponents to stop fighting the project. Alana Hurley is with the United Tribes of Bristol Bay.
The short time we've had to review the highlights of this permit application, it confirms every concern we have had for over the last decade.
As the environmental review process moves forward, the Army Corps says it will hold a series of public meetings. The agency says final approval could take several years. Former Nanuk skier Tyler Kornfeld grabbed first place Sunday in the 30-kilometer classic event, part of the U.S. cross-country championships taking place at Anchorage's Kincaid Park. Kornfeld has built a winning reputation as a sprinter. Following his win, he said he parlayed those sprint skills in the final phase of the race.
I just looked around the pack and was like, you know, I can do this. Like, I'm the best sprinter in this group, and I just need to be smart.
Kornfeld, who now skis for Alaska Pacific University, garnered the win in 1 hour, 21 minutes, and 43.6 seconds. Other interior skiers also performed well this weekend. Kendall Kramer, a West Valley High School sophomore, captured third in the junior female 5-kilometer classic race. Kramer also skis for the Nordic Ski Club of Fairbanks FXC program, and two other FX skiers distinguished themselves over the weekend. Ty Donaldson finished 13th, and Logan Mowry finished in 19th place in the junior male 10-kilometer classic race. For years, the debate over offshore drilling in Alaska has focused on the Arctic. But last week, the Trump administration proposed opening almost all Alaska waters to oil and gas leasing, from southeast to the Bering Strait to the Canadian border. That includes areas that have never seen drilling before. Rachel Waldholtz from Alaska's Energy Desk reports on the reactions from Alaska's coastal communities.
Ask Linda Benkin of Sitka how she feels about the proposal.
I probably better not say that on tape.
Benkin heads up the Alaska Longline Fishermen's Association. She worries that an oil spill anywhere in the Gulf of Alaska or the Bering Sea could put fish stocks all over the state at risk.
It's really deeply disturbing to see the willingness to place at risk up and down our coasts the renewable resources that are the cornerstone of the economy and people's way of life.
That's a feeling echoed by Mark Vinsel. He runs the United Fishermen of Alaska, which represents the state's commercial fisheries. Vinsel says he's glad the Trump administration excluded the North Aleutian Basin planning area, which borders Bristol Bay. But he says fishermen haven't forgotten the 1989 Exxon Valdez oil spill. And if more waters are opened up to oil and gas development, there needs to be a lot of community oversight. He says the message is pretty simple.
You need to be careful up here, whatever you're doing. This is really, really dangerous waters. Fishermen know that, and everybody in the Arctic Rim knows that.
In Unalaska, Mayor Frank Kelty was taken by surprise when he heard the Trump administration was proposing to open waters surrounding the Aleutians and Pribilofs. Kelty says he's not opposed to oil and gas development, but Unalaska depends on fishing, and any oil and gas drilling would have to be done right.
I think there's going to be a lot of pushback from not just the enviro community, but from coastal communities such as mine and other fishery-dependent communities across the country.
Across the country, because the Trump administration is also proposing to open waters up and down the east and west coasts, from Maine to Florida and Washington to California. The proposal also came as a surprise in Nome. Austin Amasik works for Kowarik, which represents tribes across the Bering Strait region. He says local communities have made it very clear where they stand. They've opposed oil and gas development in their waters for decades.
You know, there are areas where our people have hunted and commercially fished for quite a long time. It's where we make our living, so we're you know, quite concerned about the aggressive, nature of this draft proposed program.
The Trump administration has stressed that this is just a draft. The Interior Department could remove some areas from the final plan, depending on feedback from communities. The proposal will be open for public comment for the next 2 months. From Alaska's Energy Desk, I'm Rachel Waldholtz in Anchorage.
For more on tonight's stories and others, go to newsminer.com or KUAC.org. I'm Erin Granger.